Hello and welcome to Women's Wellness with Loose Inspiration Podcast. I am your host, Lucy Catino. Ladies, this is your safe space where we discuss everything women's wellness. Let's dive in and start to peel back the layers. My guest today is Angela McCray, a filmmaker and creative strategist with over 15 years of experience in television, film, and journalism and philanthropy. Currently, her career sits at the intersection of content development and events marketing. She currently serves as the events and marketing director for the DTLA Film Festival. Angela leverages her 20 years of media experience to engage diverse audiences with impactful storytelling and innovative experiences. Needless to say, this woman here knows how to set goals and crush them, and she's here to tell us just how to do that. Welcome, Angela. How are you feeling today?
Thank you so much, Lucy. I'm doing amazing considering the circumstances. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being on. And you know, that intro doesn't even do you justice. I eventually had to stop talking, but I could have went on and on and on. But I know that's your job right now, so you get to tell us how to really crush this, because I'm learning from you. I have my notepad here. I'm ready to take notes. I'm ready to go. So are you ready to tell us how to crush these goals, Angela?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, let's do it. So I'm just going to dive right in to my first question. When did you first discover your passion for storytelling?
My passion for storytelling. I mean, I believe that has always been rooted in me since childhood. You know, I've always been a writer since I was probably like 9, 10 years old. I remember back in the day, because I grew up as an only child, I used to create my own kids' comic strips.
Very fun.
Yeah, so you know, it's funny because I used to have pet cats, and so my first comic strip was like these hip-hop cats that I used to make. And so, you know, I used to use old yellow. I remember writing all types of weird, crazy articles to create like a children's newspaper. So it was just, you know, would evolve. Mm-hmm. And then when I really figured out that, okay, this is something I'm really passionate about, was in high school. I used to have bouts of punishment where I couldn't go outside. I didn't really have a social life. I was just locked in my bedroom. And during those times, I used to write poems, wow, short stories. I used to draw, and I even used to paint, believe it or not.
Wow.
So I'm trying to get back to that.
You know, that's a really a great talent to have. I always admire painters, how you can just like visualize something in your mind and actually, you know, put it on canvas or on paper, whatever the case may be. It's really fascinating to me. So I would like to see some pieces. Do you have any?
No, I don't think
she's
not
like,
from
no.
Childhood. Not from childhood. And believe you me, I wasn't that good. I mean, I was decent enough, mm-hmm, but I never really cultivated or did anything, you know, any formal training, but it was definitely something that I preferred to do as opposed to watch TV or read books. I mean, I did read, even though I did those things, it was just, that was something, an artistic outlet of expression that I did used to do when high school.
No, and that makes sense too, how it was all pointing in the direction of storytelling, because I feel like that's also another way to convey something, you know, outside of what you're able to see and experience within yourself, and you're able to share that with the world. And that's exactly how I see storytelling to be. So it all makes, mm-hmm, sense, right? So that brings me to,
yes,
my next
does,
question for you. Yeah, perfect sense. You helped launch the very first Young Professionals Network of Los Angeles. What inspired that? Because I was really intrigued by that work that you were able to do with young women. Was it something that you always wanted to do or kind of just fell into?
Well, actually, it was the first Young Professionals Network at NBC Universal in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So it was specific to the corporate kind of diversives. And, you know, I pulled on it. I was kind of fairly new to NBC Universal at a time, maybe 2 years after I moved to LA. So I was still, you know, trying to get my bearings straight. And I was always trying to connect with people, but it's really hard to connect with like-minded people, especially Black people and people of color, you know, as a transplant in Los Angeles, because everything's just so spread apart. And, you know, as you already know, as an adult, sometimes it's a little harder to find friends, to make friends.
Yeah. After a certain age, it almost seems impossible. It's like, you know, I'm always like, wow, I've always been such a social butterfly. And, you know, I've always had so many friends growing up. But the older you get, I don't know if we become more like particular about like how we do that, or is it that, you know, we're just all busy with our own personal lives and we have families and work and things like that. So yeah,
I definitely think life gets in the way of that. You know, you have to prioritize, and of course family, you know, relationships, spouses, and even professional goals. And so as to kind of identify and figure out and crush my professional goals, you know, I was suggested by executive, because I used to love to do like informational meetings with like different executives, and so this one particular executive, Talitha Watkins, she's the director of multicultural marketing at NBC Universal during the time for Universal Pictures. She suggested I join the employee diversity groups at the company, and so I started off, you know, leading a committee of women, young professionals, kind of like we call next gen, for the next generation of leaders, women leaders. Me and a colleague, we created this new committee and really started developing and tapping into a whole new demographic of early and mid-career women in the company. And so because of the impact we created in engaging this demographic of employees in a unique way, we were tapped to work with a woman in New York to really do the framework, foundation, and development of the first young professionals that work for the company. And so this was probably in about 2014 when we started that. And it took us literally 2 years of planning and organizing and researching and, you know, strategizing before it officially launched. But one of the cool things is that when it did launch, it launched in Los Angeles and New York. I was inspired by, you know, this dedicated team of passionate individuals. You know, we would get on calls weekly, biweekly, whatever it took. And we were able to literally, you know, build that framework from a membership of zero to 1,200 in the first year in Los Angeles. Now it's an international network that has launched in London as well, and other cities across the country before I left the company.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, were you always clear on the stories that you wanted to tell, or has that been developed over time and your experiences? What would you say to that?
That definitely life experiences dictate that. I think life experiences dictate how you tell stories, because it changes your perspective on things. Like I remember when I first moved to Los Angeles in 2008, I was like, oh, I want to become a director. But I didn't have a lot of experience. You know, I mean, I had grew up in the same community. I went to a HBCU, you know, so I kind of like, it was similar environments throughout my life. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I moved to LA where I started meeting more multicultural people, was eating different cuisine, was being introduced to different socioeconomic backgrounds. Like everything just kind of opened my eyes. Mm-hmm. And so from there, I really was able to study and understand people and the decisions they make and the characteristics and personality traits in a really, really unique way.
Do you feel like it kind of shaped your view of the world in a sense by moving to Los Angeles from, like you said, from being at HBCU and, you know, kind of like having that safety net, but then you come here, you experience a, you know, more multicultural situations and diversity. Did that help to shape your view a little bit?
Absolutely. I mean, because, you know, I grew up in the Maryland, D.C. area. So people, you know, people there, we it's like we're all similar in a really interesting way.
Yeah.
Like,
and it feels comfortable.
I went to college at Baltimore. Yeah, it's very comfortable. So when I moved to Los Angeles, I was learned a whole new region of the country. You know, I was meeting people from different parts of the world. You know, one of my good friends, you know, he introduced me to Jewish traditions. I celebrated Hanukkah with him and his family. You know, just, you know, I even had a white roommate.
Wow.
You know, and she was super dope. And we just, you know, she was younger than me. So it just exposed me to different things all around, like even different types of Black people, you know, like being, right. I think, on the East Coast and in that space, you only, you know, you kind of know people that have similar experiences and you've been the same places as you. But then you go across the country and you meet, you know, Black people that, you know, maybe, you know, grew up with only white people, who grew up in the Midwest, who, you know, have different accents, who, you know, maybe from different countries that I haven't ever visited or met people from. You know, and it just was really cool. You know, I mean, one thing that I can say, sometimes it was a challenge to my spirit to even be in a place where I was always a minority, which was, so that was also a huge culture shock for me as well.
Right. Yeah. Well, it sounds like a really great, well-rounded experience. And it sounds like it was a good move for you at the time. So that is pretty amazing. Now, I want to talk about your short film, Where is Beauty? Starring a soul singer, Guapale, which is one of my absolute mm-hmm. favorites. She is just an amazing oh. singer, and I've, you know, I've been a big fan of hers for quite some time. Now, that short film helps women of color define their own standards of beauty, and also another thing that I was really impressed by is that you had an all women crew. How, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. what inspired you to tell that particular story, and what message did you want women to take away from it? I'll tell you what I came away with upon watching it, but okay. Tell me what was that whole creation process like?
Well, I just believe it was really like ordained by God, because it wasn't even anything that I even saw myself doing, you know, a year prior to. So, you know, I worked with a woman who wrote the film for me to direct, because I told her to direct films, and I hadn't directed a film yet. So she challenged me. She wrote a script for me that she wanted me to do. And it was a definitely, I was nervous, of course. There was a lot of fear. But, you know, after going to Sundance one year, I reconnected with a producer that I knew over the years in LA, and she invested in me. She was like, definitely, I want to help you with this, you know, and to have somebody believe in you enough to where they wanted to invest time, money, resources, you know, is an honorable thing. So of course I had to rise to the occasion, and I felt like I had to like double down. I had to really make sure the project through. And, you know, and just working with Guapale was an amazing opportunity. She is just so sweet. You know, she's amazing as her music, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I see that. Like, she definitely exudes that on camera. I was like, I'm sure whatever her sound is, that's actually who she is. And that's what made it so beautiful, too, to watch, was like, I could see, you know, just another woman of color, you know, just like being reflected back to me. And that's how easy it felt to watch that short piece. So
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
exactly
you.
Exactly that. No, yeah, it was really beautiful.
Yeah, Guapale, she, you know, it was funny how we ended up connecting. I mean, I've met her before in the past, and, you know, I meet, you know, her, one of her, someone from her team is like, you know, I'm friends with. And so, doing a round of casting and, you know, auditions and things, so that's, I wasn't really confident with one specific person when mm-hmm. it was all said and done. And so mm-hmm. like 2 days later, it's like, I'm, you know, get out the shower. I'm just thinking, you know, trying to replay, you know, sometimes for me, God speaks to me in the shower. So during that time.
I get that. Me too.
That's a part of my wellness.
Me too. It's the, and you know, it's funny because I shared that I was doing an interview years back, and someone had asked me like about writing, and I said, you know what, my greatest ideas comes in the shower. And
yes,
it's just so
do.
Weird because, and I think it's because of that stillness, that moment that we have to ourselves, and we just completely just, you know, just release everything, and we're completely present, you know. And
it's
that's a great moment.
Ritual in our lives. We got to keep in mind, it's a daily ritual in our lives. And
yeah.
So when we have those moments, we associate them with something greater, because it's ritual. It's a ritual, you know, it's part of our daily routine. And so I think for me, the water, the sound, that stillness, everything just kind of brings, you know, space for me to be quiet and still and mindful for all of that. So after literally a shower, she came, she popped up in my mind. I immediately emailed a mutual friend, and she got the script and sent the script over, got it literally moved like that. Like literally 3 days later, she came in, did an audition, and she joined the team that night. So it just really happened fast.
She believed in it. She definitely believed in it.
She was able to connect with the story. You know, she's cut her hair multiple times. You know, she's also a mother and has a young daughter. So, you know, she wants to also always provide stories and music and, you know, be associated with things that she can always be proud of. And it will inspire her daughter and her greatness. And I think just during the whole creative process, one of the muses in that process was also the painter whose artwork was featured. Her name is Michelle Robinson. She goes by Mr. Michelle on Instagram. And her artwork was just dope. And I was following her years before the film. And so and she was this mystery, like she would never post her image. She would never do that, put herself out there. It was all about the art. And so I tried to use that mystery throughout this film, throughout the storytelling and the unraveling of the film, to where you really never completely saw the character in her full completeness.
Yeah, you don't. And another thing too that I really liked is there were no dialogues, so it was all visual. So I was almost forced to move with her to understand what was going on in that short time. You know, it opens up if I'm at the liberty to say so, right? So in the apartment with all the artwork, so it gives us that, it paints that picture. Okay, this is an artist. She is an artist, a visual artist. And, you know, and then we journey with her outside, and she goes through like highlighting all these beautiful women that she, you know, that she encountered along the way and kind of celebrated them too.
Absolutely.
You know, she was celebrating them. And that's what I was able to take away from that. And then at the end, when she completely shaves off her hair, you know, just saying to us, you know, you're not, you're beyond this look or whatever, this hair. So it's such a beautiful piece.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's
Thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you. And you know, working with women, that was something that was a priority for us, because when we shot this, it was like 2016. It was right ahead of the, you know, all the Time's Up and, you know, all of these other initiatives that, you know, we now know exist, diversity funding foundations and stuff for diversity and, you know, to empower diversity in the Hollywood space. This was before that. So, you know, me, of course, being an advocate for women, be an advocate for young professionals, I always come from a, and then of course, being a woman of color, of course, always come from a place of, you know, making sure underrepresented people are given opportunities. And so we was able to partner with the Los Angeles Film School. So we were able to bring in students for this. We were really, it was really great. And as far as the message that I wanted women to take away from it, it's exactly what you mentioned. Like, you know, beauty lies from within. And I think we all have a cognizant decision to use social media responsibly. I think when it comes to beauty and comparison to social media, I wanted to really like utilize the film as a tool to inspire women that, you know, it's not just social media, isn't just a place to show physical beauty or to try to, you know, say this is how people are supposed to look or normalize a specific homogenous look. I think it should be celebrating the uniqueness of everyday people, the beauty in the people you encounter, and showcase that, like your transformation into being something greater than you were before.
Yeah, no, it did that. It definitely did that for me. And so whatever that, it captured that exactly. And so thank you for making that. I was really excited to watch it. And I do hope that other women can watch it as well. It's worth the, I think it was less than 10 minutes. It's a really short film, but it's great. Very great. So,
well, I'm actually in the process of trying to figure, you know, put it out. So I'll keep you posted once it's out and available to the public. I want it to be free to the public. So hopefully that's something that will happen before the summer's out.
Yeah, definitely keep me posted, because I will definitely help to promote that and put that out there. because it was definitely valuable to me, especially, I mean, like, into the way it started with the whole, she was scrolling through social media and like comparing herself to these other women, and they all look the same, you know, but she obviously didn't look like that. So, but yeah, beautifully done.
Thank you.
Yeah, very welcome. Now, you have a new venture in the works as a wine ambassador, another one of your passions. So share with us how that came about. Now, I'm a wine drinker, red, white, you know, it's just, I just think it's amazing that I want to hear more about how this whole venture came about and what you're hoping to achieve with the with this new journey.
Absolutely. Well, you know, first and foremost, I love going to a good wine tasting. You know, I've gone to vineyards in Santa Barbara.
Yes.
You know, I haven't gone to Napa yet, but, you know, I was just in South Africa with some friends and we visited four different wineries. And it was an amazing moment. Like, it's peaceful. We get to literally just sit back and enjoy all these different flavors, like literally taking the time to just reflect and allow our palate to lead us on a journey. And when we were in South Africa, like, I had a chance to interview one of the only Black winery owners. And I was able to, you know, interview Wendy, and she talked about their wine and how she was able to launch it as a woman of color in South Africa post-apartheid, you know, in modest accommodation compared to some of the other ones that we went to. And so her story of triumph, of resilience, definitely inspired me to just want to learn more about this industry and what is our claim, what is our stakes in it, you know, as people of color. So when I got back, you know, all of a sudden COVID hits us, you know, we're here, COVID-19, we're in a pandemic, you know, everything's just like still, including my resources and economy as a filmmaker and, you know, media professional. Was just like, okay, everybody's just still right now. People are cutting budgets. People are losing jobs. What can I do right now to generate supplemental income for myself, but still align it with my values and my lifestyle, right? At the end of the day, we do, of course, have to do what we have to do when it comes to making money and sustaining ourselves.
Of course.
But to be truly in a place of like wellness for ourselves, it has to be aligned with our spirit. It has to be a whole 360 kind of like fulfillment. And that's something that I think is important. So my aunt, she purchased this huge bottle of wine. And I was like, my aunt is buying wine. People are buying wine. Liquor stores are being shut down. You know, liquor sales are going up 600%. Like, this is, it's like something's, they need, the need needs to be fulfilled. And so a colleague, a friend of mine from LA, she told me about being a Bossé ambassador quite some time ago, but I really wasn't prepared for it then. But after my recent trip to Africa and my new enthusiasm and respect for wine, I was like, well, this is a perfect time for me to learn more about what this ambassadorship was. And so right now I'm a part of this growing, you know, winemaking kind of heritage based out of with vineyards based in France, Sonoma and Napa, you know, over 250 different types of wines, high quality, ranging from, you know, $20 a bottle all the way up to $350 a bottle. And it's really a way for me to learn more about the industry, learn more about the different wine, and also create a pipeline for not just myself to create income, but also other people that may be interested to create supplemental income through an ambassadorship program. And, you know, each wine that I've had so far in the collection has beyond exceeded my expectations. And so I just want to share that with, you know, my friends, my family, and encourage people to, of course, support me, because small businesses right now and entrepreneurs are the ones that are deeply affected.
Yes.
And if it's just literally taking your order away from the local BevMo, who's, you know, has deep pockets and, you know, is all across the country, to purchasing from an independent, you know, ambassador, I think that will just help shift the economic imbalance in the country and also provide us a way for being, you know, using ingenuity for sustainability.
That's right. I love that. Wow. So we will get plugged into that. I will have you share the information of where we can find more information on that. Now, I did want to ask you this very important question, which I want to know myself. What is your formula to setting your goals and crushing them? Because we want to know. You are someone that I felt would be perfect to come on here. And kind of like, I know you don't have all day to tell us your entire, life journey at this moment, but just kind of give us a hint on how do we do that? If there's a pressing goal of mine that I want to achieve, what are some of the advice that you might have?
Good question. For me, I might come up from a more unorthodox, perspective because I'm not necessarily a creature of habit. I'm not necessarily a person who has my life completely planned out day to day, 5-year plan, 1-year plan, 10-year plan, like we typically hear and see in a lot of these online courses and articles that we read and like Harvard Business Review courses and things like that. Like, I don't necessarily live my life, so I'm more of the type of person that's moved by this by my spirit and by the spirit. So I think what I can reflect on and know for certain is that I do create outlines for myself. So I create goals based off of outlines because I don't necessarily always see the clear vision. It's a direction in which I'm being led to. And as I start putting out those outlines and outlining my goals, usually it's high level goals. So like it might be, become a production assistant or work at a film studio. It might be, be a director, whatever that looks like, whether it's a director level at a corporation or whether it's a director of a film, right? It might be, travel more, what have you. What I've noticed about my life is that when I set the intentions each day and each relationship or business goal, I always lead it with an intention. So first I have my goal, high level goals. Then I set my intention. What is that goal intended for? And once I know my intention, then from there I realize that things start moving in my direction. Things start becoming aligned. And then not only that, but I become about it because it's all revolving around a spirit and my value system. Now, now
No,
this,
I get
I don't
that.
know.
You're speaking my language right now. Oh, definitely.
Okay.
And you know, when you said intention, I really feel like that is the movement. You know, like once we set that, it's like almost deciding, just really, really deciding. And that's when you kind of notice the movement and the motion and just, I do agree with that. Wow. Yeah. So I think I'm on the
And
right track.
you know what it feels like. And it, absolutely, because once you have that intention and you know what it feels like
You do.
in a correctly. Because I think sometimes before when I was like just going from like a lot of the jobs that I received and a lot of opportunities and success that I was able to achieve was not anything that I could have imagined or that I've written down as a very specific goal a year, 2, 3, or 4 years prior. A lot of it was just, I know I want to do this, I know I want to do that, vaguely here. But one thing is, I was always open to be led by the spirit. And so in that, I realized that a lot of the things that I was accomplishing in my life was literally things that I could have never imagined. It was beyond my expectations. And I wholeheartedly believe that the reason why that happened to me was because I was faithful and I was led by God. And even when I tried to force it, when I had a career, when I was, talking to her every week, when I was redoing my resume 100 times a week or a month, into all these jobs online, trying to do these interviews, nothing worked. Nothing worked. And I tried every avenue and I was forcing it. And I was, my confidence was being shattered. I was being frustrated. I would like literally be in tears and I was following all the
Yeah,
directions.
and I've been there. You
And
know, you have degrees, you have the resumes, like you said, you've worked on it, it's, up to par, and but it's not working. And you,
Right. And my aunt said it to me best, because this is literally right when I was like, okay, I was about to be at my breaking point, because I was in the same position for 6.5 years while I was at NBC Universal. 6.5 years. Prior to that job, I never was in the same job over 3 years. Yeah. You know, so this wasn't even a part of my like norm. And so here I was being fulfilled through, like I mentioned earlier, the Young Professionals Network, you know, be able to create space for personal growth, professional growth for women and young people, you know, being an advocate for people. That is where I started realizing my fulfillment. Mm-hmm. Yep. So sometimes we have to go through those moments of stagnant, you know, energy for us to really start identifying where we get the most joy, where we find the most inspiration, because it was during those moments, that 6.5 years is when I really was able to align what I was good at, what I was knowledgeable about, what I was passionate about, to really hone into what my higher purpose was when it came to my day to day.
Yes. And that is, wow. I hear it, Angela. I really do. Because I do feel that. And it took me a while to really realize that. And it's like, and two, like the skills that we acquire, like, and it ironically so funny, I was in your television production classes many, many years ago, maybe over 10 years ago.
Yes!
And, you know, those skills that I was learning then, or honing, because I would, you know, I had my communications degree prior to that, but I really wanted to focus more on the technical, and that's why I went and took those courses. But at that time I thought, okay, it's TV, I have to become a reporter, and this is what I have to do, because, you know, I had this whole plan. But as life started to unfold, as I became more clear about who I am, and just like listening and following directions, you're just moving, like you said, with the spirit, then the voices inside of me became louder and louder. It wasn't what other people wanted me to do or had this vision of me doing. It was what, okay, this is what you're meant to do. You know, you're meant to work with women. You're meant to be in this healing space. So it became even more and more clearer, because the voice inside of me became more and more louder, because now we're able to, like you said, be moved by the spirit. And that's why I'm really glad you said that. And I hope that it helps someone else trying to navigate through this whole, you know, just finding that path, because it can be a little confusing. Absolutely. And you can get lost, and it's okay. You know, you do get lost in it sometimes, right?
Right. I mean, right now, like, I just turned 40, you know, over 6 months ago, June 16th, I turned 40.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Just to kind of talk about that confusion, that point of like confusion, you know, as much as, you know, I would like to think that I know and I'm confident and everything that I do and, you know, everything, you know, is planned out of my life. When I hit that 40 hump, it was a complete 180. That was a pivotal change in my life.
Yeah.
And after 40, I left LA and I moved to New York.
Yeah. Big changes.
I had already kind of created this new career for myself, where I pivoted from working at the studio system to really become a full-time communications and digital marketing strategist. And that's when I started working in the documentary film space. I did some street marketing with a cannabis company. Like, I was really kind of, you know, getting my feet wet. I worked on a couple of, you know, independent films, doing their digital marketing strategy and like paid social media ads and things like that. And so once I moved to New York, I literally was leaving my life behind in LA to start something anew. And when I did that, I knew it was alignment. I mean, it wasn't anything that I envisioned for myself a year out, 6 months out. I didn't plan it. It was literally, I wrecked my car in May, right before I went to Aruba to work at the Soul Beach Music Film Festival, literally 2 days before I left. I wrecked my car.
Wow.
Had my car parked at my house for weeks, okay, while I'm going to Aruba for 10 days. Then I go to Atlanta for a film screening of Where's Beauty. Then I go to Miami to celebrate my birthday. And while I'm in Miami, this opportunity to really consider New York popped up, because it was like, you know, we know how expensive New York is. The only way you could, because I looked I considered moving to New York in 2018, but it just is too expensive. So when this opportunity presented itself of a house that was affordable for me, I was like just jokingly considering it. But then after I left Miami and went back to LA, I had 2 weeks to make a final decision, and I made it the last, right then and there, the last week in June. And in July 1st up until I left August 1st, I literally was on a 4-week plan to uproot my life and move to New York. So I got rid of 75% of my things, 75% of my belongings.
Wow.
And that right there, you know, most people would have anxiety attacks, but me, I just was doing the work. I didn't have no emotional attachment to it. And, you know, because I knew I was in alignment and I knew I was following God.
Yes.
I know that wasn't about me. I was just being obedient. And it didn't hit me until I literally shut my door after the movers left, and I was in my apartment was completely empty. My space was completely empty. That's when it hit. I laid on the middle of the floor, and I just prayed, and I just, you know, kind of was at one, meditated, you know, to try to really, you know, soak it all in. It wasn't emotional. But then the second time it hit was when I got to New York, and I was in my apartment woke up the first night and through the morning with zero furniture. It was just me and my cousin. I just woke up the next morning, and I boohoo cried because I was like, what did I do? You know, I didn't know what happened. But my cousin, she consoled me. The movers came like literally 30 minutes later. Wow. And it just was back to action. And, you know, and so to help me with this, because, you know, everything that was happening was not only moving fast, but it was also in an intense period because we were releasing a feature film theatrically. The Miles Davis Birth of the Cool documentary was, you know, doing a limited release in theaters all across the country. And so it was a high pressure work time too. And and it was just all this. And so I decided I wanted to go to Africa to commemorate the 400 year, anniversary of the transatlantic slave trade. And I had been thinking about that all year. Now that was where my head was at before moving to New York, was trying to get to Africa. And I couldn't do it in August because of this, you know, theatrical release that, you know, we had to kind of scramble together, you know, resources for. But then I was like, well, if I don't go in August, I got to go in December. And so God created once again, created space. You know, the company that I was consulting for that ended. So now I was completely independent, completely like at free to do whatever I wanted to do, which I was dubbing the whole year Freedom 40. That was my whole mantra for the year was Freedom 40, Freedom 40.
Because
I become whoever, you know, the woman that I always envisioned for myself with no limitations. And so I went on this 40-day journey to Africa starting December 29th into February. And I went to 7 different countries. And that really was a reset button. You know, you talked earlier about, you know, having, you know, taking those moments to reset, to think, to be mindful. And I took a whole 6 weeks to do that because I felt like in this new chapter, this new decade, it was like no more excuses, no more wasting time. Like it was just literally like going now or never kind of mode. And then we get hit with Corona. So I'm still in this stage of like, what's next? You know, this is still, you know, the world's changing every day. I mean, we're all being hit with that. We're all, you know, that's a testament to not just the changes that I made through decisions, but now this is changes made by, you know, nature, you know? You know, the government, you know, because whatever the government decides, it's going to create a change in our lives, right?
That's the truth. That's why I hope that they're really careful on what that decision is, because we could all be impacted in a great way. So I do hope that's really, we really think that part through, because...
And faith is the thing that's holding us together.
Our practices, you know, just our routines, our wellness,
those rituals.
Absolutely. I do agree with that, because we have to keep our sanity in the midst of everything that's going on, so many uncertainties, right? So,
and the reason why I keep saying rituals is because, you know, when you think about routines, that's very technical, that's very school book. You know, when you think about routines, but the reason why I want to call it rituals is because that's when you know the intention is to be connected to the spirit.
Yes, I do.
It brings it back to the spirit that I definitely learned when I was in Africa is, you know, every day of their lives, every moment that they take, it's led by the spirit. Like the spirit is in their day-to-day lives, which is something that we don't experience a lot here in America.
Yeah, it's that ground.
And in Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that Western civilization, the spirit isn't rooted in that. It's the mm-hmm. technical, it's the, you know, hierarchy, it's the, you know, capitalism. It's so many other things that I think is kind of rooted in Western civilization that isn't there. It's not present in the African culture.
Yeah, and those are the things that are the most valuable and important. Like what we here give value and importance to in the grand scheme of things is not important. And you know, this whole pandemic situation is really bringing that to light, right? So it's really Absolutely. Shining the light on the major issues and the lessons that I hope that we really come away with when this is when this kind of fizzles away mm-hmm. or just kind of regulates in a sense, because I know this is something we're going to be faced with in the future. Unfortunately, it's just a reality, but hopefully we'll have a better way to cope and to navigate through it all. That's yes, the lesson.
Yes.
That is the lesson.
Absolutely.
Wow, Angela. Oh, amazing conversation. Like I knew that you would be the person to really, that, you know, like I opened up the show with that question, how do you set the goals and crush them? And you are the woman to answer that. So thank you. Thank you for,
sharing
all of that with us. Now tell us, where can we join your mission and especially learn more about what you're doing as a wine ambassador and also for those who may be interested?
Absolutely. Definitely follow me on Instagram at Adventurous Ange, and that's with 3 G's. So that's Adventurous, Adventurous, Angg. So that's Adventurous Ange on my Instagram. So please follow me there. Also, I'm on Facebook as my public facing page is Mama Sans Entertainment. That's MANS-Entertainment. I'm sorry, MAMA-SANS-Entertainment, Mama Sans Entertainment. And you can find, I share a lot of information. I curate stuff on Black Hollywood, you know, to kind of help, you know, be a resource for people trying to break into the business or looking to know what, you know, what, how the business is being impact, how the business is impacting Black creators,
mm-hmm.
And also celebrate Black creators that are making moves in Hollywood.
That's right. Love that. And before I let you go, I like to conclude with 3 questions where I like dive even deeper. Okay. So the first one being, if you, Angela, were to write yourself a love letter, how would you begin?
Oh, wow. A love letter. Okay. You know, I'm just going to start with this preface. You know, a lot of us spend time in our lives trying to figure out who we are as people. You know, we're constantly trying to find ourselves in different mm-hmm. stages in our lives as different experiences happen. So for me, I would begin my love letter with self affirmations, you know, affirming that I am a unique and divinely made woman made by God. And it's essential that I'm constantly reminded to be comfortable in my skin, allowing my radiance to shine, my uniqueness, and to constantly attract what's meant for me, and never, yeah. ever wavering or settling for what's not for me and that's true to me. So just having that self-affirmation of, you know, putting myself as a priority, because I feel like a lot of times in my life, throughout my life, I did not do that. I would put others before myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because I'm a giver, you know, I'm a giver. I love helping people. I love,
mm-hmm.
you know, being selfless, but I feel like you can still be selfless, but still make yourself a priority.
Yes, you can do both. Absolutely.
And celebrate that.
Yep, exactly. I agree. And secondly, what is your personal why? That one thing that gets you up in the morning?
Ooh, my why. You know, throughout my life, I've been blessed. You know, I've been blessed to have so many people that believe in me, like in the different parts of my life, like to the point where I'm like literally brought to tears. Like, I mean, most amazing way. And I'm so grateful for that, you know. And one of the things that always gets me going and gets me encouraged is to know that, you know, there's people that look up to me. There's people that are encouraged by me, and I don't ever want to let them down. And, you know, because it's hard, you know, I don't want to waste with somebody else's energy, belief in me. I don't want to take it for granted. And so I want to also make sure that I fulfill God's purpose. Yeah. You know, the mission that he has set me on, I want to fulfill that. And I want to make sure that I show him that I'm grateful for all the blessings, you know what I mean? And all the opportunities and all the faith that he's embodied on me. Because, you know, I started out with the people first only because, you know, people are fickle. People, you know, are unpredictable. So for me to constantly have that kind of like reassurance throughout my life, you know, is important. And God is, of course, supreme. And I do totally let him down. And I don't want to take his blessings for granted. And I just feel like, you know, the combination of both of those is what gets me going each morning.
Yeah, I love that. Beautiful. And lastly, what would you like to leave behind when this journey is over?
I guess significant impact. You know, when it's all said and done and people, you know, say my name or they have a memory of me, I would definitely want it to be, you know, some level of positive impact, whether it's bringing joy, laughter, you know, bringing people together, connecting people, you know, and also whether it's one person, a few hundred or thousands, I want to inspire people through, you know, through my stories and my experience. You know, I want people to remember something that I've done, I've said to them, or I've shared with them, and it'll inspire them to realize themselves, you know, self, and feel the freedom to be unapologetically who they are.
That's right. Exactly.
Freedom. Beautiful. Of self, for sure.
Freedom of self. Yeah, that is freedom, just to be who you are and to express that fully. I do agree. Wow. Angela, well, thank you so much for your time, your wealth of information. I received it all, and I'm pretty sure that my listeners are going to find great value in it. I appreciate your time because I know that's valuable as well. And until we connect soon. Yeah, you're very welcome. It's been an absolute pleasure, and you're welcome.
And I'm
back.
So proud of you, Lucy, because, you know, I remember you when, you know, when we were both in our 20s.
Yes, it was a very wild time.
I was trying to teach the class, and you were just amazing and serious. You were like one of the more serious students.
Yeah, I was there. I was very intentional because, you know, I went to college, got my degree. And so I knew exactly why I was there and what I was there to do. And so, yeah, I was very determined. And I think that's what helped me too. And but I'm a very different person from that 20 something year old. Like, I look back and I'm just like, wow, what were you doing? You know, it's so funny, but I'm just like, I'm very proud of both of us, actually, you know, and we're both now 40 years old. So it's such an amazing thing to see. And you're such an inspiration to me. Also,
thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're very welcome. So we will be connecting soon. Okay.
Sounds good. I look forward to it, and I will continue to celebrate you.
Absolutely. And to my listeners, remember, you are the most important person in your life. Until the next time, be well. And do check us out on our Instagram page. That's luce.inspiration for more podcast updates, inspirational quotes, and much more. Sending you all so much love. Thank you.